Becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you to earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates.
Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Navy Federal also offers equity loan options to help you get the funds you need to consolidate high interest debt, work on home improvements, or cover any of life's big expenses.
To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, their members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender, membership required. Terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking prime prescriptions, cheap dates, and stellar customer service.
That's right. This is our Friday Flight. And you know who the Friday Flight is for, Joel? It's for all the folks who didn't have the time to read every single news story that happened to be published this past week.
Yeah. That's what we do.
That's what we do. Yeah. We cover all of the relevant stories, in particular the ones that have to do with your personal finances.
Yeah, we filter a whole lot of crap out so that you only have to hear the stuff that matters.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's what we're doing today.
We don't read everything, by the way. There's a lot of stuff that probably slips through our cracks. And so if you ever find a cool story and you think it's interesting,
send it our way.
Send it our way. howtomoneypod@gmail.com.
Help us out.
Yeah, and do our research for us. Well, Matt, we've got a lot of stories to get to today. But real quick, I wanted to mention that give a little round of applause.
For my dad.
Okay. He and my mom are about to retire this spring. They're getting close. My dad already kind of retired, but he's working part-time. But they're kind of like
easing into those retirement years.
Yeah, but they're like, all right, where's the low-hanging fruit that we can, where we can cut back as we get closer to retirement? You got this fixed income, right? And it's unlikely you're going to re-enter the workforce. Although they could if they needed to, right?
But tell them about this awesome website, howtomoney.com.
I was like, listen, Dad, some of these things I've been talking about it for a long time, but he took some meaningful steps, I will say, over the past couple of weeks to really reduce some of the bills in his life. And one of the things, I was shocked to see how much he saved on this. Well, we've talked about how much prices have gone up, how much rates have gone up on insurance, like homeowners and car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My dad.
Car insurance in particular. Shot up.
He is going to save $200 a month. A month.
Holy cow.
So like $2,400 a year.
With car insurance?
With car insurance and home insurance together. I think
so his
but it was mostly
bundle.
Car insurance. I think that was the biggest savings.
$2,400?
Yeah.
Dude, that, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You were saying to applaud earlier. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to clap until I know what I'm clapping
yeah,
for.
Yeah, no, so that's a lot of money, right?
That I will clap for. That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I just, and it just bears repeating for our listeners out there who That's always one of those low-hanging places where you can save. And especially right now when we're talking about just kind of an environment where rates are going up in a big way. Some of our listeners in the Facebook group have said that their rates have gone up like 38% in a year. Like just
I believe it.
Insane. Yeah. And so, but to see that, well, you know what? Insurers have all sorts of different ways that they come up with their rates. And not everybody has the same algorithm. In fact, they all have kind of like different algorithms, right? So
they all got their own secret sauce.
Yeah. So you might not be giving up a ton of coverage. You might be getting the same exact coverage, but just saving a lot of money. And so it's worth noting. And it's one of those things where, man, if you can save that much money, and even if it takes you a few hours of your time to do the shopping, to make the phone calls, and to make the switch, it's like, who doesn't have a few hours if it's worth a couple grand in a year?
So. Yeah. And in particular, those are savings that you're going to be able to realize year after year instead of getting penalized for being loyal to the company that you've been with. Shop it around and you'll get to see that premium decrease.
Yeah. Mad props to my pops, by the way. And also, one other thing. We'll link to an article in the show notes about additional ways that you can save on insurance. Like, shopping around is one thing, but then asking for... There's a lot of discounts that a lot of people don't know about. We'll link to that article, too.
That's right, man. Yeah. So let's get to our Friday flight. This is the quick sampling of the different stories that we found the most interesting this week. And on Wednesday, actually, so we talked about negotiating your salary. That was one of the ways that you can maximize your income in 2023. Listen back if you hadn't already listened to that one. But what about negotiating for how much you pay for products? Consumer Reports, they had an excellent article this week about which big box appliance stores out there offer you the greatest ability to get a lower price just by asking for a better price. And first of all, if you are in the market for a major appliance, where it is that you shop matters when it comes to getting the best price as well as the best perks. ABT, which I've never even heard of before, evidently they're up in the upper Midwest. They are beloved by their customers. Costco, they ranked best for price overall and for some of those additional perks that I just mentioned, for some of those extras like delivery. They'll haul away your old appliance as well.
Which used to kind of be standard, but it's not anymore. So it does feel like a perk now.
Yeah, who maintain that? Because this often does. It costs extra. So make sure to factor that in. We want to make sure that we are all paying the lowest amount overall. And man, that haul away service that they provide as well, that is clutch. Yeah. In particular,
especially if it's broke as a joke and like you have to pay to recycle it.
It's one thing if it kind of works and you can maybe unload it for like, you know, barely working fridge, $60.
Yeah.
All the shelves are broken, broken inside of it. But I'm specifically
sounds like you speak from personal experience, Matt.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking of being a landlord, the ability to have a company show up, haul off an old or completely broken appliance, install the new one. Oh my gosh, the ability just to be the middleman and coordinate the, okay, sounds like the guys are going to be there between 2 and 4 this afternoon.
Yep.
So your tenant knows when to be there. They show up, haul off the old one, hook up the new one. Your tenant's happy. I'm happy. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, makes it easier for you for sure.
Yeah, and absolutely.
A lot of these guys now charge money for that additional haul away. And interestingly enough, Matt, you know, you mentioned the negotiating for those products. Well, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Best Buy, the Consumer Reports said that 60-ish% of folks who asked for a discount at those stores were able to get one, which is crazy. I was like, wow. That's a lot of
pretty
people.
Pretty impressive, especially considering that these are national brands.
Yeah. Right,
that where you would not think that they would have a whole lot of flexibility.
Exactly. But here's the rub. In that same survey, only 20% of folks were willing to ask for the discount. So most people paid full freight. They paid the full sticker price of that item because they were too nervous to ask the question. But the folks who did, who put themselves in that slightly awkward situation, they ended up getting it. And what was the average savings, according to Consumer Reports? $133.
Nice.
Which is not chump change, right?
Yeah, that's real money, man.
I mean, when you think about what's your hourly wage, you're like, how many hours would I have to work? When you just have to ask this simple question and there's a decent chance that they're going to say yes, like how long would it take you to make $133 tax-free dollars, right? And how awesome is it that you can keep that sum of money in your pocket just by asking a simple question? We should all be asking for discounts more regularly. That's for sure.
Heck yeah. And yeah, there is an even higher percentage of success with more, like some of those regional companies or more independent stores as well, because they obviously do have the most flexibility when it comes to the prices that they can unload certain items for. And also something else that you can negotiate on, so the average internet bill is cresting $75. You should also consider negotiating that bill down as well. Oftentimes you start service with a company, you get that new customer period of time where it's like the honeymoon phase, basically, right? Like they want to wine and dine you, sort of like going back to the insurance example, right? They want you to be happy. They want you to be warm and cozy with their company. That way, when they raise rates, you don't go anywhere, right? And so when it comes time to negotiating this bill, first of all, you need to make sure that you are armed with information. That's always going to give you a little more confidence in knowing that when you go and talk to your current internet service provider, that you've got hard facts. You can say that, hey, this is what so-and-so is charging. This is their rate, and this is the speed that they're offering. And be willing to walk, right? Because if they're not willing to match that, hopefully they do match it. Because that's the easiest thing, to not have to change your service. But also, I think it's important for us to all be willing to walk away, knowing that, all right, well, if you're not going to offer me that, I can take my business elsewhere.
For sure. Yeah, we actually just wrote an article up on the site about how to go about asking for a discount. And we talked about specific places where you're liable to get a discount. So we'll link to that one in the show notes as well. But Matt, let's talk about drugs for a second. You're not supposed to do drugs unless they're prescription drugs. And even then,
I don't know. The doctor says you should.
Yeah, you got to be careful. If the doctor says you should, then you should consider it. But at Prime membership continues to become more expensive, right? I think it's $139 for a year now. It's not cheap. But Amazon, it feels like they have to justify that fee to their customers because, of course, they do. Or else you would walk away if you're not getting enough value for that Prime membership. But and they already offer a number of perks, right? You got the music that you can listen to. There's, you know, a lot of streaming television and movie options on Amazon, but they're always looking to add more to make Prime membership like this stickier proposition. And what's the latest on that front? Well, they're expanding generic drug offerings. Their new offering is called RX Pass, and it's going to offer access to commonly prescribed medications for just $5 a month. And the average cost savings for the typical Prime member could be in the $100 range a year, according to the VP of Amazon Pharmacy. Is the average consumer going to be able to save that much? It depends, right? It depends on whether or not one of the 50 prescriptions they offer is something you take on a recurring basis and how much you normally pay for it now. But yeah, if you do take a couple of those drugs, then the value of paying for Prime just went up for you in all likelihood. You're going to want a comparison shop. You're not going to want to just assume that this is best. But prescription drugs are typically kind of a thorn in our side price-wise. And it's also just nice to have it shipped to you for $5 a month. That sounds pretty nice. And if it's going to save you money, Prime, and even for folks who aren't currently Prime members, if they're like, wait a second, five of the drugs I take, if you take a lot, you know, on a monthly basis are on this list, boy, that might have just made Prime membership worth it right there.
It could be worth it. But also keep in mind, this is coming from the person who's in charge. Their livelihood is dependent on the success of the RX Pass. Which, by the way, reminds me of, like, is it the Fast Pass or whatever? It almost makes it sound like you can get as many drugs as you can handle. Obviously, that's not the case, but that's what I think of when I hear RX Pass. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's just like
sounds fun.
They're handing out generic drugs like candy. By the way, a new study that appeared in JAMA, that's the Journal of American Medical Association, they found that the drug ads that we see on TV, that they're often not any better than the drugs that are already on the market. Now, 70% of the drugs that you see pitched, they have what's known as low therapeutic value. There's not much to be gained by going with those name brand drugs as opposed to the generics. Interestingly enough, most other countries other than New Zealand, I think, have banned the sorts of direct ads that we see from pharmaceutical companies. And worth mentioning, because I think we'd all be happier. We'd probably be healthier too if we took a similar approach. But don't buy into the marketing hype. And you know what we'd recommend is to get those generics, you know, whether it be through Amazon or wherever it is that you can find those. They're going to save you a boatload. And honestly, it's just dumb the way that drugs are marketed here in the U.S. It's not dumb on the part of the pharmaceutical companies, though, because they're making money. They wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't them making a profit, right? And so really, it's dumb on us as individuals to respond to that kind of advertising as opposed to tuning it out and maybe going down the path that's going to be a little bit harder. Like, we've talked about the obesity drugs that have recently... Have they been like officially approved?
I think
or whatever?
So, yeah. But, for young teens.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous that we are always looking for, like, quite literally the easy pill to take as opposed to doing like the things that are going to lead to more long-term overall health, right? Yeah. Exercise, healthy diets, taking what's going to be maybe the harder path that's going to take a little bit more discipline rather than thinking that we can take a drug to make us healthier.
I mean, in the money realm, isn't that exactly kind of what cryptocurrency did during COVID, basically?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people who are like, hey, how can I like supercharge my path? But
if
the end...
If I just do this, easy.
Yeah, but in the end, it's more like a stumbling block and it actually screws up your progress
totally
more than if you were to take the slower... but more proven route to success.
Totally.
Well, let's talk about financial planning for a second, Matt. The Times had an article this week about how financial planning is becoming more accessible, but they also said that this might not be a good thing. Why is that? Well, largely because there aren't robust legal standards for calling yourself a financial planner. And the biggest is that there's still no legal requirement to be a fiduciary if you're calling yourself one, right? So which that basically means that your financial advisor doesn't have to do what's in your best interest, which sounds kind of scary, right? Hey, let me entrust you with all my money. Oh, you don't have to do what's in my best interest? Give it back, right? That's how I would feel about it. There was a proposal to set that requirement in stone to make sure that everyone who calls himself a financial advisor has to be a fiduciary, but it didn't happen. This was a few years back. And so, yeah, there are a fair amount of financial advisors out there who have conflicts of interest. Should they invest your money in a way that nets them the largest return, or should they make sure that you're invested in what's best for you? Well, it's a shame that this is even up for debate and that we don't have a more consumer-friendly standard still. But I think the Times, you know, reinforces a great point, something we've always said on the show here, Matt, that if you are looking to hire a financial advisor, don't do it unless they are willing to sign a fiduciary oath to you. And if they're not, walk away.
That's right. Yeah, it really is a big problem. It kind of gives the financial advisor, the financial planning community, a black eye because you get a few bad actors and all of a sudden and they kind of ruin the party for everyone. But there are ways to find a financial advisor who is a fiduciary, and that's largely by going through some of the different networks out there who vet them. We, in particular, we like XY Planning Network a whole lot. If you're looking for an advisor, that's definitely a great place to look, but it's also a good idea to question whether or not you need an advisor before forking over your dollars for advice, even if it is to a lovely fee-only financial advisor who does happen to be a fiduciary. Because while you know many financial advisors out there, they seem to be offering more and more services, they're obviously not free. And oftentimes they're not going to be cheap either. And so we think that there's a lot of sort of more DIY steps that you can take before you get to that stage. So whether that's reading a book or even hiring a money coach just for a couple of hours of their time, that can oftentimes offer a better payback in many circumstances, as opposed to saying, all right, financial advisor, you're a fiduciary, sign me up. You are now my person.
Yeah. It's amazing how just like a financial coach or a budgeting coach, they're so much cheaper, but oftentimes that's the kind of handholding that people need, not the full-fledged financial advisor who comes with all the bells and whistles,
right?
Many of which you don't even need.
Yeah, oftentimes you just need someone to walk alongside you, and that's oftentimes what those different financial coaches out there are able to provide.
For sure. All right, Matt, we've got more to get to, including... Man, scams apparently on one of your favorite social media sites are through the roof, and those scams could part you from your money. We'll talk about that and more right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, man, let's keep the Friday flight rolling. This is our sampling of the different stories that we came across this week. And you just alluded to the rise in scams. I was just thinking we should have called that segment Scamster's Paradise.
I think we've made way too many Coolio puns, though, on this show already.
Right, I don't know if you'd like
that. Maybe not this episode, but just on the show over time.
Not this particular episode. But let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week. This is from the New York Post, and the headline reads, I went on 6 dates a week and didn't have to buy groceries for 2 years. This comes from a TikTok influencer out there who admits that she actually embellished her ability to save money on food by going out with a ton of guys over the course of a couple of years. The article and in some of her quotes actually were way less offensive than that actual headline. But that being said, this segment, it's all about ludicrous headlines. So, Joel, what do you think? Was this influencer, was she being frugal or cheap to try and go on as many dates as possible in order to lower her food budget?
Okay. I'm going to say cheap. I'm going to say it's cheap.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, I think...
Coming down hard. All right.
I am. And I was glad when I actually read the article and I was like, okay, she's not completely taking advantage of people to the tune of what this headline made it seem like. But I think if you are truly trying to find love and the other person offers to pay for your meal if you're going on dates, that's totally fine. Like, if that's generous and you should take somebody up on their generosity. But to me, it's kind of like preying on someone's generosity. Ooh. If you are just going on date after date after date, you're not really trying to establish a meaningful relationship with someone. You're just in it for like the free food.
In it for the grub.
The free drinks. That feels to me, that feels cheap and that feels uncool.
Well, isn't that what it's like when you sign up, well, like when you write your email down at like some sort of like festival and there's tents and they're like, hey, just give us your email and we'll give you this free blah, blah, blah. Like whatever it is, like you've got no intention of actually signing up for their service. You know you've got zero intention, but you're willing to go ahead and jump through this little hoop in order to receive the free
good. But that's a willing exchange right there. And if the person might know.
Well, I guess the argument that I'm making is that this chick isn't necessarily making guys go out with her, claiming that she is... I guess sort of what you said is true. It comes down to her intention, because if her intention is to only go out with guys because she wants to be able to get free meals.
And she's like, where are we going tonight? Oh, McDonald's? Yeah, I'm sick. I'm going to hold up for this other guy who's taking me to the steakhouse.
Yeah, if she's just doing it for the food, then obviously she's being cheap. But as long as she's open to the idea of entering into a relationship, like if she was already dating a dude and was going out with other guys, obviously that would be super cheap. But as long as she's open to... like finding the right one, and honestly, even if she wasn't open to it, right? Like, because I could see someone being like, you know what? I am not looking for finding a life partner right now. You never know what happens, though. You might sit down with a dude and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's actually like, we're really hitting it off. Boom. You're with him for a few years. Maybe you get married. You found Mr. Right.
Yeah.
And so it does come down to intentions, but I think even if her intentions aren't in the right place, I think there's still the possibility, because guys know that, right? Like, they know that there's a chance that this, you know, maybe she's into me, maybe she's not, but that's
sure,
part of the game.
You never know what's going to happen, right? And you never know. I mean, granted, it's been a long time since I've been on a first date, Matt, but you often offer to pay.
You know there's a risk involved.
And you know there's risk involved, yeah. that there's a chance you never see this person again, and that you're out $50, $80, $100 or whatever you're spending on dinner, which, by the way, makes me think about this other article I saw in the Wall Street Journal, just, I think, towards the end of last year, about cheap dates and how they're kind of coming back into vogue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is good news. It seems like people are less willing to spend big bucks on the first date. And it makes more sense, too, to spend a fair amount less on those dates.
Because you never know what if you're not willing to
yeah.
accept that risk.
And you might be going on a date with a serial dater who only wants the free food. And so you got to protect your finances even when you're out there dating. And I think I like to see this trend, because if you're just going out to coffee, or you're going out for a beer, or you go out for lunch, I think those are better options for saving, or just meeting up at the local park and taking a stroll. Yeah. Like, frugal dates don't have to be bad dates. And so I want this trend to continue. And How to Money listeners,
like,
if you're out there in the dating pool, try to avoid people who are only taking advantage of you for free food. And the one way to do that is to see who's genuine by going on less expensive, but still intentional and wonderful dates.
Where it makes it more about the relationship and less about what you're getting out of the relationship.
Or about getting to know someone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's about that dynamic between the two of you as opposed to the goods, right?
Yeah.
I want to make another case for this girl. Like, let's flip the table a little bit, because I think there's a lot of dudes who do the exact same thing in a different kind of way, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not necessarily out there looking for, like, okay, she's not really wife material, but there's tons of dudes out there who are just looking to hook up. And in the same way, does that mean you opt to not be on the different apps and platforms altogether? Well, I think that's up to the individual to decide, but to know that that's a possibility. And not just dudes. I mean, girls do the same thing as well when it comes to how long of term. Yeah, and just the kind of relationships that they're looking for. But I don't know. We don't need to keep going down the relationship corner.
I mean, we could start a new spinoff show, Matt. We could give dating advice.
All about dating
from
advice.
Two old guys who don't know anything about it. But
that's definitely something we should do. Let's quickly discuss the story that's the opposite of a ludicrous headline, and let's talk about a company. Let's give them some props for doing business the right way. The Journal, they profiled a small olive oil company that apologized to its customers via email. And so, you know, your parents, they probably told you that honesty, it's always the best policy. But most businesses tend to dodge that advice when they make a mistake. And this company, I think it's, so Graza?
Is it? I think so.
Graza?
Yeah.
I don't know
how
it's a tiny olive oil startup. They shipped a bunch of badly packaged items, many of which arrived after Christmas, which was a problem for folks who were planning to give the olive oil as a gift. But the CEO's email, it was titled, "Learning from Our Mistakes." Evidently, it was well received by customers because, you know, he apologized, he addressed the problems head on, he took full responsibility, and guess what? Authenticity worked in this case. It actually deepened the connection that many of those let down customers had with the brand.
He even offered, apparently, like a coupon code for people who are impacted. And a lot of people said, listen, I'm going to order from you again, but I'm not going to use the coupon code because I so appreciate your apology.
Yes, exactly. And being upfront, honest, taking responsibility like that. I mean, we bash on companies a good bit, and so it's fun to kind of highlight a company who's doing the right thing, who's taking responsibility like that. And that's a drum that we beat all the time, right? Like, personal responsibility. But hopefully that you can take this on a personal level. You can be encouraged to know that, you know what, sometimes we don't need to kind of dodge and try to navigate our ways away from conflict, as opposed to just, you know, facing those things head on.
Hey, my bad, my fault. Sometimes if you just admit it, it diffuses things so much more quickly. And it's just nice to see a business do the right thing.
It kind of, I mean, it makes me want to go out there and buy some of this olive oil.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it makes you want to apologize. What are you going to apologize for, man?
I'm sorry. Do you like olive oil?
So I mean, we cook with olive oil sometimes. I will say, I was looking at their branding and their squeeze
bottles.
It's
really cool looking.
They're so cool. I was like, okay, I might want to get some olive oil from these guys now.
It's the same bottle.
Also because they're nice.
It's the same bottle that my Japanese barbecue sauce comes in.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's like the plastic tube with a little mustard style top and twist up or whatever. Literally last night, I was cooking dinner and we had some oven roasted, like those little white creamy potatoes you know what I'm talking about, like with a real thin skin. Had roasted some of those and we busted out some truffle olive oil, finishing oil for the first time.
Oh, there
ever.
You go.
Do you like truffles?
Is that from Costco?
I think it was from Aldi. Kate picked it up at Aldi. She knows that I really like truffles.
I don't know if I like truffles. I don't know if I'm fancy enough to have had them.
You've had truffle
oh,
fries
I guess I've
before.
Had like a little bit, yeah.
It's that stinky.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
It's like a stinky, garlicky kind of, oh man, I love it. Sometimes folks are like, it's described sometimes as stinky feet.
Yeah.
I'm into that, so.
You a creep like that. So, well, let's move on, Matt. Let's talk about scams here, because in case people were worried that the world is just too nice a place and there's too many businesses doing the right thing by by everyone, no, that's not quite the case. In Facebook Marketplace, they actually saw a 185% increase in the number of folks who got taken advantage of on their site. So it's worth taking a minute to quickly outline maybe how a bunch of these scams work when you're in Marketplace, because we've talked about how it's one of the best ways to buy and sell used items. It's
especially for bigger items that are more difficult.
Yeah,
to
that
ship.
You can't ship, and yeah. That you don't want to sell on eBay. But most of these scams involve either a seller receiving fake payments for an item they've listed, or a buyer who made a legitimate payment for an item that they're looking to score, but then the seller never delivers the goods or they go silent.
Yeah, they get ghosted.
Yeah, but part of the problem is that you made that payment from afar. You didn't go see the item in person. Evidently, this happens a decent bit with fake home or apartment rental, which used to happen on Craigslist, but now that scam has moved to Facebook Marketplace. But the landlord accepts a deposit, and by landlord, I put that in quotation marks. They're not the real landlord, but they accept a deposit ahead of time. Then they never show up at your new place because it's not actually their place. They stole the pictures. And the same thing is true with pets, right? We're an excited potential pet parent. They're willing to pay a chunk of change for a new puppy, but then they never hear back from the seller. And it's super sad. We don't want you to fall prey to these scammers. And it seems like there's just more and more scams happening. And Facebook's having a tough time tamping down on them.
That's true. Yeah. And unfortunately, this seems to be an instance, I think, where technology, it's only exacerbating the situation. Again, responsibility, I think it ultimately rests with us as individuals. But some of the different payment apps out there like Zelle, they sure do make it easy to send payments before a victim has fully thought through what it is they're doing, right? Like they're not thinking of scams. They just want to adopt that Frenchie, that French bulldog. And especially on Facebook, it can just be so easy for a scammer to set up a profile with pictures and information. You know, it's like, oh, I see their smiling face. Oh, is that a picture of the kid or their family? Let's say, oh, I trust this person. They look like a really upstanding person that they're willing to trust, rather than someone they should be slightly skeptical of, right? Like that, where there should maybe be some slight suspicion, or at the very least, they should maybe perform some due diligence. So the easiest way to avoid all of this headache is just to always make sure to see or to hold that item that you're looking to buy in real life before you pay. Meet up in person, do it somewhere public. And if you are the seller, if you're trying to unload some stuff, you're thinking about doing some spring cleaning, make sure that you've actually received payment in whatever app that you're using. I'm certainly not opposed to using some of the different apps. It makes life a lot easier. But just don't trust an email notification, because oftentimes that's how some of these scams work. That person will send an email that is impersonating Zelle or Cash App or Venmo, and it says, oh, this much money has been deposited into your account from this person, and it happens to be the exact amount that you just sold that item for, but they just had that sent over, but that money hasn't actually shown up in your account. Make sure that money shows up, or better yet, you can just use cash. It's certainly an argument to keep some of that cash around, because folks oftentimes are unsure of, how am I going to deposit cash that I receive with my online bank? Well, don't. Just kind of hang on to some petty cash that allows you to give a couple bucks to the neighborhood lemonade stand or the hot chocolate stand that the kids are doing. But also it allows you to buy some of these smaller items that you can buy used via somewhere like Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, we still like Facebook Marketplace because there's really nothing equivalent to it, especially when you're looking for things locally larger, right? Like Craigslist still is around, but
it's the worst.
Yeah, it's not what it used to be. Not that it was great to begin with, but yeah, I think Facebook is still worth using. You just have to use those precautions to make sure you don't get taken advantage of, you don't lose money, so that you're not a victim of one of these scams that are proliferating. But Matt, let's talk about work from home for a second. Like last week, we talked about Disney, how their old/new CEO, he's back into action. He's calling for workers to return to the office 4 days a week. And that trend, we said we think it's going to accelerate. And it turns out just a lot more information came out this week showing that that's what's going to happen, right? A lot of workers aren't going to be happy about this, because another stat just came out this week showing that working from home saves the average person 72 minutes of commute time every single day. That's a whole lot of your life back in your life. And it's
but again, the ability to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
I kind of treasure the time that I have to be able to listen.
Your 10-minute bike commute in?
I mean, yes, honestly. Like, luckily, we're able to bike, you and I both. But the ability to kind of have some of that personal time to either listen to an audiobook or listen to a podcast.
I don't mind driving as long as I'm not sitting in traffic. And so I think, but the problem is a lot of that commuting is sitting in traffic, like we talked about with congestion.
Yeah, talked about last week.
Yeah. So, the truth is remote jobs are dwindling. So a lot of CEOs are saying, come on back 4 days a week minimum. But at the same time, there are fewer remote jobs being posted on basically all the job sites, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, Indeed, and ZipRecruiter. They're dropping like a rock. There's just fewer of them, more of the jobs being posted. They're being pickier about wanting you to come in on the reg. And so remote work, it's certainly not extinct. We don't want to give that impression. But if you're dead set against having a commute, but you're also looking for a new job, just know you're going to have fewer options to choose from.
Yeah, and new stats have also come out about how engaged workers are in their job. And so if you're one of the growing number of actively disengaged folks at your workplace, it might be time to...
Why'd you look at me when you said that, Matt?
To find another job, to find something else. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Wednesday's episode, you can likely use not liking your job to find something that's going to be more fulfilling, that also pays more. Don't sit around doing something that you don't enjoy doing. Find something that is going to give your life some more meaning, and you might have to go into the office. But hey, if it's an employer that's got a solid culture where you're able to meet some new folks, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's always an important question to ask. Like, what kind of employer is this? And what do they expect? What's the work-life balance like? And that's where reading reviews about that employer on a site like Glassdoor can be helpful, can give you some information so you don't end up, oh yeah, the salary's great and they want me to come in, but man, everybody hates it here.
These aren't my people.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to sign up for that. So, all right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode, though. We will put links to all the stuff we mentioned in our show notes up on our site at howtomoney.com.
That's right. And we're talking about work, but on Monday, we are talking with a guest, and we're going to talk about the opposite of work. We're going to be talking all about travel. Specifically, we're talking about frugal travel, how you can do it on the cheap. I'm looking forward to that one. But we hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. And Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.